Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. I want to talk about something I felt like the Lord laid on my heart during prayer this week sometime. And Proverbs 10 and verse 4. Praise God. Good to see all of you here this morning in the house of God. Proverbs 10 and 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Praise God. Very beautiful proverb there, written by this wise man Solomon. And I want to talk about your hands this morning. I was in prayer and it just came to me. It felt like the Lord just spoke to me and said, your hands. And so I began to look into the word of the Lord. Amen. And there's some really great, awesome things about hands this morning that we can find in the word of God. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for truth this morning. We ask you to lay your hand upon us. Speak to us through the word of God today. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. It's so good to have these young people on the first two rows here this morning. And I appreciate these young people putting up with the pastor service after service after service when they could be over in Sunday school being entertained by somebody. You got to stay over here and listen to the pastor. Amen. I appreciate these young people here this morning. We got some wonderful young people here. And they're not going to be young people much longer. And what thou doest, thou must do quickly, I think the Bible says. So we're going to try to jam as much down in you as we can. Praise God, while the time allows. Praise God. Your hands. Everybody said, my hands. My hands. Your hands are a reflection of God. Amen. We were made in the image of God, weren't we? And each of us have a decision in life, and that decision is whether or not that we're going to be blessed. It really is that simple. Amen. You say, well, I can't bless myself. Well, I would have to disagree with that from the standpoint of the Word of God, because there is the possibility that you can curse yourself. Amen. But I want to choose this morning to be blessed. Anybody else want to be blessed this morning? I want to be blessed. Praise God. And many times we get the false impression that being blessed comes from some mysterious force that singles out certain people. And certainly God in his sovereignty allows that to happen sometimes. But when we get this concept or this impression that it is just for certain people, and anybody else is left behind with no way to get out of their situation, I think in many, many, many ways we limit ourselves tremendously. And the truth is, there is no force in the universe that will determine whether or not I go to heaven. Amen. There is no force in the universe that determines my future except the will and the plan of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And so when we look in the scriptures here this morning, we can see a few things. If you have your pencil and paper, you can write down some of these scriptures, or you can get the tape after the service. I say tape, that kind of dates me, the CD or the jump drive. Psalm chapter 102 and verse 25. Let's turn there this morning and let's look at the Word of God, see if we can't get this moving here this morning. Psalm 102 and verse 25. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Amen. And so what we can see then is that before God lifted up his hands and God began to do something with his hands, there was nothing. Amen. There was nothing. There was no blessing. There was no humanity. There was no salvation. There was no blessing. There was no earth. There was nothing. Amen. But it was only when God used his hands. Now, let's just be clear this morning. God does not have a set of literal hands like ours. Amen. But it is a reference point. It is the ability and the desire to do something with what you have. Amen. And certainly when we talk about God, God has everything, doesn't he? Amen. Wouldn't it be tragic? I remember many years ago there was a lady in the area of Boston when we lived there, and she passed away in her home, and she ate cold oatmeal because she didn't want to use any natural gas or electricity. She didn't run her air conditioner, and in the wintertime she kept it as cold as possible because she didn't want to spend any money. And she died in her home, and they went to the home, and they began to go through her possessions and so forth, and they found hundreds of thousands of dollars in her house that she had put here and there and everywhere, but was not willing to spend to have a bowl of hot oatmeal. She just was willing to eat a bowl of cold oatmeal. And I thought about that, and I thought, what is it about certain people that are like that? I'm really not sure. I don't really think about things that way. I don't believe this morning that I'm supposed to take everything that I have, wrap it up in a napkin, and bury it in the ground. Amen. But I believe that God gave me what he gives me so that I can put my hands to it, and I can begin to make it prosper in my hands. Amen. To take what God has given me as much as possible and with as much wisdom as possible, to invest what I have. And when we see what God did in creation, the works of the heavens, amen, the heavens are the work of thy hands, we can see that before that happened, God had everything. Amen. God has everything. There is nothing in which God lacks. Amen. God owns everything. He created everything, and it came forth from him. Everything was created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. Amen. They're held up by him. And we serve an awesome God here this morning. The more I look at him, the more I am amazed. The more he is just so awesome and fantastic. I cannot imagine living for anybody else. Amen. And so God took his hands, as it were, and he began to speak things into existence. And my, what a beautiful world God created. What a beautiful universe God created. I like to look at things relative to space, and I was looking at a headline just last night on space.com. If you're interested in it, it's very informative. They've got lots of stuff about space and things like that. And they said they found a couple of planets somewhere in the universe that are of the consistency of cotton candy. Amen. So when God created things, he said, I'm just going to put a little cotton candy out here. And they said they found another planet. They said that the planet is one big diamond. Amen. And I thought, well, there it is. God put that little diamond out there, that little spot of diamond. And my God is an awesome God this morning. He is not limited by creation. He created all things. Amen. He is not limited by our theories and all of those things, but God can do anything that he wants to do. In fact, the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. And it also said that there is nothing impossible with our God. Right. Nothing is impossible. And that will blow your mind if you just stop for a little bit and meditate on that. But think about it. God, who is able to do all things, created the universe and created the earth that we're on this morning, not just to lay it in our lap, but he gave it to us in a raw form. Amen. He put the gold in the ground, and so we have to take our hands and dig into the ground to find it. Amen. He put the trees in the field and in the forest, and he gave us hands so that we could cut the trees down and make homes. Amen. He did all of these things in that way. Amen. Because it is important what we do with our hands. Amen. Amen. It could still be nothing right now, but it's not nothing. It's a beautiful world that we live in. Amen. It's a beautiful universe, this house that God made for us to dwell in, and the lights and all of the intricacies and all of the really neat things that happen in the universe. The 27th, 2 days ago, I thought it was last night, but it was the night before last, there was another blood moon, and the planets lining up, and it's causing a red moon. I just think those things are so awesome. And the Bible says he put them there for times and seasons and for understanding. Amen. Because for God, time doesn't mean anything, but for you and I, time is very essential. Amen. It is very, very essential. Psalms chapter 17 and verse 7, it says, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them." Amen. And so by example, the Lord has showed us in the word here the value of hands. Amen. And his hand here is the saving hand. It is his right hand that is his saving hand. And the right hand represents power and authority, meaning simply and very profoundly at the same time that God is able to save. Amen. God is able to save us. It doesn't matter where you're at this morning. It doesn't matter where you're coming from this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done this morning. I'm telling you, the right hand of God is at work in this world, and it is his desire to save humanity. Amen. It's his desire to deliver. It is his desire to bless. Amen. It is his desire to save. And so when we talk about our hands this morning, they're used in many places in the scripture. When they're not used, many things begin to take place that are negative. Amen. And yet when hands begin to be used, there is much good that takes place. Praise God. Young people this morning, it's not a strange force in the universe. It is not a strange force in life that some people have more than other people. Amen. It is not a strange force that some seem to be blessed and others seemingly are not blessed. Amen. A lot of it has to do, not all of it, but a lot of it has to do, with what we have in our hands. If you have just a little bit in your hand this morning, then work with just a little bit. Amen. If you have a lot in your hand, then you have much more responsibility. Amen. And you should take what you have and use it. Amen. Do something with it. Well, praise the Lord. And a scripture comes to mind here, Proverbs 10 and 4, the scripture that we read this morning. And it says, "He becometh poor." Everybody said, "He becometh poor." Or he becomes poor. Amen. "That dealeth with a slack hand." And that word slack there means idle. Everybody said idle. Or slack or slothful. The word slothful comes from the word lazy. Amen. It is not careful or steadily attentive, amen, not industrious, but slack, but idle, amen. Well, I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to put it over here and I'm going to relax a little bit. Jesus talked about a man that had barns full of everything that he wanted, and the man said, I have much laid up for many years. Take ease, thy soul. Eat, drink, and be merry. Amen. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Amen. And all of this stuff that you have isn't going to mean anything. And that was basically the point of the thing. But the other point was that he got to the place where he felt like he had an opportunity to be lazy. Amen. Or to be idle, or to be slack. But he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent, everybody said the diligent. Amen. Maketh rich. Everybody said rich. Praise God. How many of you young people want to be rich this morning? How many of you want to be rich? Some of you don't want to be rich. All right. Praise God. Gavin's like, not really sure. Too much work involved. How much work is involved in this? Amen. Well, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for that Reader's Digest thing. I'm waiting for that automobile advertisement that comes, the big piece of paper that's about this big, and you have to scratch it off, and if it matches, oh, you're going to win, and you're going to win $20,000. You're going to win all of this. I've fallen for that before, and I went to the dealership, and I said, I'm here to claim my car. Amen. And they just smiled at me, and they gave me a $1 lottery ticket. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm still working. Amen. Praise God. I didn't hit the lottery on that one. But what I really needed to do was to take that time and use it for something productive in my life. Amen. He that dealeth with a slack hand. But it says the hand of the diligent. Somebody said praise the Lord. The hand of the diligent. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to figure this out in my throat, but I'm going to figure it out. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. And so the word diligent there, I think we all understand what that means. It means to be industrious. It means to be careful. Or steadily attentive. Amen. And so the true answer to wealth, if we want to talk about wealth, and this is not a prosperity doctrine here this morning, but if the answer that you're looking for this morning is to do better than you're doing right now, let's look at it that way. Instead of wealth, $1 million or $5 million or $10 million or whatever it is that you're looking for, how many of us here this morning want to do better than what we're doing right now? All right, a couple of you on the front row. You're happy with what you've got and you're not really interested in a whole lot more. Well, praise God. We're going to try to motivate you here this morning. Amen. Well, I'm just content. The Bible says be content. Yes, it does. And that is an attitude. But there is another attitude that goes along with contentment, and that is, let's see if we can make this a little bit better. The word there in the scripture where it says that we should be content with what we have doesn't mean that if your house is dirty, you should be content with that. Well, praise the Lord. You can go to your neighbors and borrow a bar of soap and clean it up. Well, I don't have any soap. Go to your neighbor. They'll loan you a bar of soap. They'll pour you a little cup of soap to clean your clothes with. Well, I'm just happy. My clothes are dirty. I'm just happy with that. I'm resonating with the front row here this morning. Probably not the second row, but the front row, I'm resonating. I'm happy with these old shoes. I don't want to throw away an old friend. Amen. Well, I've used this handkerchief for nigh on to 6 months now, and it's as stiff as a board, but I'm content. The Bible says to be content with what you have. Amen. Well, I'm content with my room being trashed out. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, Mom and Dad, help me this morning. I'm trying to dig a deep furrow here. The tractor's under strain right now. Amen. The ox is pulling really hard. Oh, I'm just happy, you know, with that anthill underneath my bed. Well, I'm just happy. I mean, it's just a natural process when food gets underneath your bed. Yeah, it'll turn to mold, but after a while, the mold eats it all up, and then the mold dies, and it takes care of itself. Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. We need the help of the Lord here this morning. Amen. We really do. It is very important this morning that we understand where blessings come from. Amen. Blessings don't just come because we pray. Amen. Prayer is very important. And somebody said amen to that. Amen. It's very important. And yet, there is something about prayer that we need to understand, and that is that God expects us to do something with what He has given us, and then pray about it. Amen. Pray about it, do something about it, and then pray about it some more, and ask the Lord to bless the efforts of our hands. Amen. Blessings don't come just because we pray about it. Amen. Blessings don't come. I remember as a kid, I don't even remember what it is that I wanted, but I just thought life was really magical, and I just said, you know, I wish that I had this, and in the morning I believed that it was going to be there in my room, right beside my bed when I woke up. And to my disappointment, I woke up in the morning, and it wasn't there, and it never did come. Because that's not the way life is. Amen. I remember my pastor telling the story about Brother Sexton. Brother and Sister Sexton was Sister Stanford's mom and dad. And they were a very interesting couple. Sister Sexton could talk your ear off 5 or 6 times. Amen. And in fact, Brother Stanford said that you could tell 5 minutes before she woke up because she started talking. Amen. And Brother Sexton, he was just the quiet type, and he just kind of, you know, meandered along, and he wasn't really, outgoing or anything like that. And they told the story back in the Depression days when there was no jobs at all. And he had a family to feed, and so he went to the local steel mill, and this is out on the East Coast, and he walked into the office, and he said, "I need a job, and I want you to hire me." And they said, "Well, we're not hiring. It's the Depression, and we're just not hiring." And he said, "Well, that's fine." He said, "I'm just going to sit out here, And when something opens up, then I'll be here and you can hire me." And they said, "Sir, we're not even hiring. "Well, that's okay." So the next day he showed up at that business, walked into the office, waved at those folks, sat down with his lunch pail, and sat there all day. And at lunchtime, when the whistle blew, he opened up his lunch bucket and he ate his lunch and he sat there until the bell at the end of the day. This went on for several days and he showed up every day. All he had was a hope. He didn't have any promise of anything, but he knew, "I want to be blessed more than what I am blessed right now." And finally, one of the big bosses looked out there and said, "What's going on out there?" And they told the story. And he said, "Listen, hire the man and give him the dirtiest, the hardest, the most grievous work that you've got out there, and we're going to run him off." And so they hired him, and he said for the first 6 weeks, he thought he was going to die. They gave him the hardest, the dirtiest, and all of that. And after 6 weeks, they went up to him and they said, "Mr. Sexton, we are so impressed with you. We want you to know what we've done, and you have got a job here as long as you want a job." And he retired from the steel mill, amen, because he took what was in his hand and he said, "I'm going to do better with it." Praise God. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. My pastor, he was quite a guy, and he was very individual, and he had a man in his church that was on welfare, and he had some sort of a problem, but it didn't keep him from being active. And he said, "Well, I can't work or anything like that." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what you need to do then. If you can't work, you need to be busy with your hands." And he said, "I want you to get your lunch bucket, and I want you to go down to the local nursing home, and I want you to volunteer every day and help out somebody with what you do have." Praise God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It is not the will of God that we be lazy. Well, praise God. I just want to preach a little bit here this morning, or teach a little bit here this morning. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24, it says, "The hand of the diligent," amen, that's somebody who stays after it, "the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful," there it is again, "the lazy shall be under tribute," amen. Would you rather be the one to be under tribute, or in other words, whatever you do have, it goes to somebody else? Or are you excited about having something that you are diligent and ruling over? Amen. In other words, you can be a ruler in your life, or you can be a slave in your life. It's really what it's saying right there. And it's all by what we do with our hands. Amen. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. "The soul of the sluggard," there it is again, or the slothful, "desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Amen. There's something about diligence, sticking with it, taking care of it. Amen. And "the soul of the sluggard desireth." Oh, he wishes for a lot of things, but when it comes down to it, he doesn't get anything. Young man here this morning, if you're at a certain age, you need to be busy. God did not call us to lay around all day. I know it's summertime, and you're supposed to lay around in the summertime. But there's coming a day when you're not going to be in school anymore. There's coming a day, and you might as well get prepared for it right now. Get busy with your life. Develop a plan. Do something with your time. It's not the will of God for us just to lay around all the time and do nothing. Because then we begin to think about things. "Oh, I wished I had this. I wished I had that." And before you know it, we get discontented. We get discontented. But if you're busy with your life, if you're busy, amen. The Bible says that a dream cometh in the multitude of business. Amen. And I like to pronounce that word busyness. Amen. In the multitude of busyness, there comes a dream. Amen. But some people dream, and they dream unrealistic dreams. Amen. Because they've never been busy with their hands. Well, somebody said, amen. Amen. I'm losing the front row here this morning. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Amen. The thoughts of the diligent. Praise God. There's a thought process here that must be developed, and that is, what can I do with what I have? How can I bless what I have? Amen. Instead of the moment you get a few dollars, your thoughts are, what can I spend this on? Praise God. Well, I'm getting a raise on the job. Well, I wonder what better car I can get. I can afford a bigger payment now. And so I'm thinking about ways to get rid of this money. Well, I'm telling you this morning, God has a better plan for us than that. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's called being out of debt. Now I think I've lost almost everybody here this morning. Praise God. But there's some of us that are working towards that. Some of us are very close to that. Some of you are already there. And that's a very exciting prospect. Amen. Well, I wished I didn't have these high payments in my life. Quit wishing. Amen. Quit wishing. It ain't going to change anything. Praise God. Get busy and do something about it. Make a plan and work that plan and be diligent with that plan. Some things that require diligence takes a long time. It does. It takes a long time to pay your house off. It takes a long time to pay your car off. It takes a long time to pay off other debts that you've accrued in your life. But if you don't get busy and be diligent with it every month or every week or whatever the payment schedule is, then you're never going to get to your goal. Amen. And God help us here this morning. I know I'm not preaching to anything that I know, all right? But I'm telling you this morning that credit cards are the biggest trap that the devil has ever concocted. If you're living off of a credit card and paying 21 or 20-something percent, I called one of my credit cards here a while back just for some information because I pay my credit cards off at the end of every month. I don't owe anything on a credit card. I don't make the minimum payments on them. And I got on there and the lady said, you're a good customer and we want to reduce your interest rate. Well, I could care less what the interest rate is. If it's 500%, it doesn't matter to me because I pay it off at the end of the month. I said, well, how much is my interest rate? Well, right now it's 29.99%. 29.99%. I said, well, go ahead and reduce it. It doesn't matter to me. I pay it off every month anyhow, and it's 0%. Amen. And then I get those little rewards that go with the card, and after a while I can buy a box of shells or whatever and get them for free. So somebody else is working for me now. Amen. But you got to be diligent. You can't say, well, we'll pay half of it off and we'll use the other half for eating out. Amen. You know the worst thing you can, God help me, this isn't even in my notes here this morning, but you know what the worst thing you could ever do is go and buy a taco on a credit card? You know how long that taco is going to be with you? Oh Lord, help us. I'm not going to get anything accomplished here this morning. I can tell right now. All of these things are against me. Amen. You know how long that taco is going to last, my friend? It's only going to last a few hours. And it's going to upset your stomach. Amen. You're going to say, why did I go over there to Taco Tico? Why didn't I go to Abuelo's? Amen. And just blow it all. Amen. But you've paid for that taco. And now 6 months later, you paid for it with a credit card, and 6 months later, it's still showing up on your thing. Only instead of a $5 taco, now it's turned into a $7 taco. And the $2 goes into somebody's pocket, so when he's out there golfing and you're out there working, he can buy himself a Coke to drink. Amen. On you. Boy, it's getting quiet in here this morning. Praise God. A slack hand. Diligence. Everybody said diligence. Let's get back to the scriptures here this morning. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Proverbs 22 and 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Amen. It speaks of a higher place. Anybody want to go to a higher place in your life? Well, praise God. Anybody want to live in a nicer home? Anybody want to drive a better car? Amen. Anybody interested in the church building a new building somewhere? Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's not going to happen overnight. We're not going to do it in a year or two. Amen. Unless God opens the door, and I believe God's able to open the door. But I'm telling you that God opens doors to those who are diligent. Amen. Amen. But sometimes we look at work. Everybody said work. And it's a curse. All right, let's look at it. Genesis 3:17. Amen. Brother Reed, would you help me this morning? Genesis 3:17 through 19. All right. It was a curse, wasn't it? God cursed the ground. And there was a point in time here, and I never really saw this until I began to look a little closer at the scriptures, but there was a point in time there where God cursed the ground, and then there was a point in time when God lifted the curse off of the ground. When I was younger in the ministry, I missed this completely. And I preached for a long time that thorns and thistles are going to grow up and there's going to be all kinds of weeds that you're going to have to fight off. And that is true, but it wasn't a curse anymore. And let's look at it. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth from the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl, cattle, creeping thing, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, be fruitful and multiply. Everybody said multiply. Multiply. And Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds. Went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar to the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And so God declared there that it is not a curse anymore. I've got a feeling, and I could be wrong about this, but I have a feeling that from Adam to Noah, there was this difficult labor situation. And they would labor, and they would put much effort into it, and they would get enough for themselves and just a little bit more. There was no way to really be blessed abundantly and for it to multiply, not just to add, but to multiply and to grow exponentially. Praise God. But when God lifted the curse, oh, everything began to bring forth abundantly. It did not mean that God stopped work, but he opened the door for work to be more productive. Praise God. And I've never seen that before, but there it is. God lifted the curse off of the ground. He did not lift the plow off of the ground. He did not lift the need for hands to work the ground, but he lifted the curse off of the ground. I don't know about you this morning. That's exciting to me. Praise God, because I'm not laboring for nothing. I'm not working for nothing. It's no longer a curse. It's a blessing. Praise God. And if I was between Adam and Noah, I would look at it and say, the Lord has cursed the ground. But when he was born and they named him Noah, they said, the Lord has blessed us now because of the cursing of the ground. And from Noah until our time, there is a tremendous opportunity that we have. Church, we have a tremendous opportunity before us here this morning. As individuals, we have a tremendous opportunity. As a church body, we have a tremendous opportunity. We have a tremendous opportunity if we will begin to work, if we will begin to pray, if we will begin to fast, if we will begin to seek the face of God. I wish somebody would help me with that here this morning. Amen. It is not a curse to pray. It is not a curse to fast. Amen. It is not a curse to be a witness, amen, and to reach out, but it is the sowing of the seed, and the ground is no longer cursed, but it is blessed by God, and it will multiply, amen. Plant one corn seed and see what you get. You'll probably get at least 100 corn seeds from it. But it wasn't that way in the day of Adam all the way to Noah. The ground was cursed, and they planted one seed, and it probably brought forth 3 or 4, enough to feed their family and a little bit more. But there we see it in Genesis chapter 8, where God said, I'm no longer going to curse the ground. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, young person, you're not cursed, and work is not a curse. It's an exciting opportunity. You know why? Because I get to give to God. Amen. Because I get to bless myself. Amen. I can have some nicer things in my life because of work. Amen. By the labor of the ox is much increase. Amen. And so when there is work that is taking place, when we put our hands to what we have and we bless the things that we have, God promised that somehow it's a principle now that God has laid upon this earth that it will be blessed and you will begin to see increase. Amen. Well, praise God. Your hands. I'm talking about your hands here this morning. And they looked upon it as a curse, but when Noah came, it was no longer a curse. And they said in Genesis 5:29, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Amen. And they said it is now a comfort. Amen. Isn't it a comfort to have a job? Isn't it a comfort to be able to go to work and make money? Provide for your family, provide for yourself, do the things that you need to do. Amen. I don't ever remember, well, I take that back. There's a few jobs I worked on, and I thought it was a curse. Amen. Well, somebody smile just a little bit. But I'm telling you, I've always been excited about working. Praise God. I've always been excited about doing something with my life. Because, folks, we've only got a short amount of time in this life, and what we do, we must do quickly. Amen. So why Noah? What was the difference here before Noah and after Noah? Noah toiled for 120 years, they estimate, and he worked, and it seemed like endless labor. But there was something about Noah. Every day he got up and he began to work on that ark. 120 years ahead of him, He was 600 years old when the floods came, so he started working on it when he was only 480 years old. Dear Lord, help us. Some of us think we're old, but folks, we're just getting started. You don't believe me. I know you don't believe me. Amen. I know God changed the time frame, but 480 years into his life, God chose Noah. Noah walked with God, but God knew that Noah loved to work. He knew that Noah would be trustworthy, and he could ask him to build this thing, and it would take that long, and he would be faithful, faithful, faithful every day. And he would work hard, and he would do his very best, and he would take every opportunity to be efficient in what he was doing and to make it easier and to make it better. And before you know it, there was an ark. Amen. I know because I saw it. It's over there in Kentucky. Amen. They found the ark. And he built it, and it was all finished, all sparkling black. Amen. And black on the inside. Oh, I'll tell you what. And everybody laughed and mocked at him. How long you been going to that church over there? How much energy and effort and money and time have you invested in that work over there? Oh, I'll tell you what, friend. We can get to the point where we think it is a curse, but it is not a curse. Amen. It is not a curse. God lifted the curse. Why? Amen. Because somebody who obeyed him and did his will, and it became our example of work. Amen. Not just work, but it is an example of the blessing of work. Amen. The blessing of putting our hands to something and being diligent with it and sticking with it and striving every day to do the best we can. That doesn't mean that we always do the best. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be, this way or that way. We've been teaching Bible study at the nursing home, or actually at the assisted living, and it's really an excellent Bible study. We've been having a wonderful time there, and it's gone really well for several weeks, and this week I started teaching, and all of a sudden somebody showed up over here, and they were playing cards, and they were talking loud, and then somebody came in to get some things, and they were talking loud, and after a while it disrupted my mind, and I thought, dear Lord, I'm not accomplishing anything here this morning. It's all disrupted. There was like a spirit there or something that was trying to keep me from being diligent. I had to stop once or twice. And I said, hold on, I got to get my thoughts together here. You don't know how difficult it is to bring forth a thought when there is all sorts of confusion all around you. Amen. You can do it. But you know what? I didn't leave there Saturday and say, well, forget it. It's too hard. I'm not coming back. I didn't do that. You know what? I said, there's going to be another day. I'm going to get up and I'm going to work another day on this. Those of you that are in school, there's times you want to throw in the towel. There's those of us, those of you that are working on a secular job, you come home and you say, I just don't know about this job. Hey, I'm telling you what, that's the nature of this world. But if you will continue to be diligent, God will lift you up in his time frame. It's not a curse. It's no longer a curse. Amen. He didn't say he would lift the works of the hand, but he said he would lift the curse. Praise God. I've got a feeling that when Noah began to work on that, there were good days and bad days. I got a feeling that he smashed his finger with a hammer a few times. I know, because I've done that kind of work before, not building boats, but building things. Amen. There are times when everything just seems to fall apart. There were times that they tried to put a beam up, and somehow or another it slipped and it fell down and maybe busted up a couple other beams, and they had to start over and whittle on another one. Amen. There were difficult days. There were difficult times. But folks, we've got to be diligent. We've got to be faithful. Amen. Faithful with what God has given to us. Praise God. God has given to us the Word of God, hasn't He? How many of you have Bibles that you own? All of us have Bibles. How many of you have more than one Bible? Amen. Look at that. Praise God. It's not a decoration at the house. No, but it's something that we need to put into our hands. And we need to begin to look at it and delve into it and go deeper in our personal time, not just waiting on the pastor to get deeper into the Word of God. And if he doesn't get deeper in the Word of God, we're going to criticize him. Hey, I'm telling you what, you need to get deep into the Word of God for yourself. Study the Word of God. Take your hand and flip the pages. Take your eyes and read the words. Amen. Take your mind and meditate on those words, and you will find that the Word of God will increase in your life. You know why? Because it's not a curse to read the Word of God. You say, well, I think it is because I've been reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles. But it's not a curse. Amen. Go over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to the book of Acts. Go to Genesis. Oh, what a powerful book the book of Genesis is. Amen. It's so deep. It's so awesome. The book of Hebrews, the book of Romans. There's so many, many deep things in the Word of God. We will never, ever mine it all out. We will never do that. Amen. But it will be an exciting adventure in your life where you learn more and more and more. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. We can bless ourselves, but I'll tell you what, we can curse ourselves as well. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says this. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, right before the book of Matthew. And it says this, will a man rob God? Well, how can we steal from God? They said, you have robbed me. This is God speaking here to Israel. He said, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Everybody said tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Amen. I want to make a couple of remarks there, but let's go back two books to the book of Haggai. It's two books before Malachi is the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 11. Now, if you want your labor to be a curse, there is a way that you can go back to the curse. Amen. And it's right here in the Word of God. He says, what I've given you, you're using it all for yourself, and you're not including the work of God and the house of God. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Everybody said, God said this. God said this. He said, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Listen, folks, we got to work on this. Amen. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. That sounds like between Adam and Noah. You have sowed much, but you bring in little. You're working, but your working is not producing much. You're bringing in little. You don't have anything to show for what you have. Amen. Because there is a priority here that God is looking for in our lives. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You know, we say that about the young people, don't we? We give them a dollar and we say it's burning a hole in your pocket. Because before you know it, it's not in there anymore. It's gone. Where is it? Well, it's right here. I got me a Snickers bar. Or I found a good deal. There was two Snicker bars for a dollar. And they're gone. Amen. They're right here. Boy, that was good. But it was only good for just a little bit. And he said, you're earning wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, don't get quiet on me here this morning. Amen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Praise God. You know where God is glorified? God is not glorified because I drive a fancy car. No, I'm glorified. People say, oh, look at that. Man, he looks slick in that black car. We saw one the other day. It was dropped and chopped. You know what that means? Dropped and chopped. That's what they used to call it years and years ago. They'd take one of those old cars and they would drop it till it's about that far off the ground. You guys know what? Those are those low riders. Metal scrapers. Down low. Chop them. They'd take the old canopy over the top, and they would chop it down so it was real low, so it's right up on your head. You'd be driving around, dropped and chopped. Man, that's a dropped and chopped car. And I showed my wife something. This guy had a dropped and chopped car, and he didn't have any doorknobs on the outside. And that was another little trick they did. And they would body putty over that, and they'd paint it, and they'd put a little switch, and you'd touch that switch, and the solenoid would click in, and the door would open. It was cool, man. It was really cool stuff. Well, praise God. Dropped and chopped. Amen. Everybody says, man, he's cool. He's got his hair combed back just right. He's wearing the most fancy clothes. All of the doodads, you know. And all the girls go, woo! And he's cruising. Just a cruising along. Amen. Doing the Detroit lean. Amen. While he's going down the road. He's a cool dude. Amen. He's got dice hanging from the rear view mirror. Praise God. He's a cool dude. Does that give glory to God? No, it doesn't. It gives glory to me. I don't have one of those. You'd say, we need another pastor if I got one. God help us. Fuzzy steering wheel, big old fuzzy steering wheel. Man, I got it made. And if you got the money, bright, shiny wheels on that thing, I'm telling you what, man, I'm going to turn heads. You know what? I see those kind of cars, those fancy Corvettes. Praise the Lord. You know who drives them fancy Corvettes? It's us older guys. Because all the younger guys are still working. I said, oh, there's a nice one. I like that color. There he was, gray hair, driving that thing down the road. I said, man, you know what, Brother Tucker? I've never ridden in a Corvette. Did you know that? You need to take me for a ride in your Corvette. What year is it? A 1960 Corvette. I gotta have a ride in that car. Would you do that for me, Brother Tucker? All right. He has to because it's in front of everybody now. We'll turn a lot of heads. Will it smoke the tires? It will. And he made it that way. I want to be in a Corvette and smoke the tires where there's lots of people looking and I can just, you know, act like it's no big deal. I'm cool. That doesn't give glory to God. But you know what gives glory to God? What gives glory to God is when we build a nice place for Him to come and for us to worship Him. Amen. You know what gives glory to God is when we build the house, His house. Praise God. When we build a place for Him that's beautiful and we say, this is God's house. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. How are we going to do that? We're going to be diligent about it. We're going to clean the carpet regularly. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to make it look good on the outside. We're going to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. We're going to get some spiritual dice hanging off the mirror. We're going to have the nicest sound system we can because this is God's house. We're going to come to the house of God looking good because this is God's house. And if anybody wants to criticize us for what we preach, that's all right. But don't criticize us because we have a dirty church. Don't criticize us because we're just barely getting by financially. Amen. If that's the case and you don't have anybody, that's all right. But I'm telling you what, in the size of a congregation like this, it should not be that way. And it's not that way. I'm telling you right now, it's not that way. Our church owes nothing to anybody. We are completely debt-free in this church. We have a credit card, but we pay it off every month. Amen. And if we don't have the money, we're not going to buy anything with it. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your faithfulness. But it's a reflection on God. He said, you earn wages and you put it into a bag with holes in it. Let's go on. He said, you looked for much and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house. Everybody said my house. My house that is waste. And you run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew. Sounds like the curse again, doesn't it? And the earth is stayed from her fruit, and I called for a drought. God said, I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth. There is the curse again. Upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. You can be diligent with your hands, but if the priority isn't right, you're going to be working under the curse. But Malachi said, let's go back to Malachi, and I'm going to finish with this. Chapter 3. He said in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, or test me. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Somebody said, hallelujah. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's stand together this morning. We can labor under the curse, or we can labor under the blessing. And this morning I choose, to the best of my ability, amen, to work and labor under the blessing. Anybody else feel that way this morning? Let's lift our hands and let's ask God to help us. Come on, young person, ask God to help you this morning. Help me to see the tremendous opportunity that I have to bless myself, to bless the work of God, to bless others around me, to be under the blessing, because I'm not under the curse anymore, as long as I deal with everything in diligence, in diligence, in diligence. Praise God. Praise God. I want to be diligent. I want to be diligent. Diligence means that if you're supposed to go to work at 8 in the morning, you show up at 8 in the morning. Diligence means that if you have a car payment and it's due on the 3rd of the month, that you pay it on the 3rd of the month. Diligence means that whatever you have a responsibility to do, you take that responsibility seriously and you do your very best with it. That's diligence. That's being faithful. That's being consistent. Oh, we will fail. There's times you'll fail. But I'm telling you this morning that if you will deal in your life with diligence, with God, with yourself, with others, there will be blessings, blessings, blessings. Because work is not a curse. Work is not a curse. Not if you deal with it the right way. It can be a curse, and you can fall under a curse for a long, long time. Amen. I've read about folks that filed for bankruptcy, and they said, they told the bank, I read about this, and they told the bank, they said, we signed the papers and said that we're going to pay this back to you, and even though we filed for bankruptcy, we're going to pay it back to you. And years went by, and they finally paid them back for the things that they had done, that they promised. You know what? God will bless that kind of a person. God will bless that kind of a person. Amen. I remember someone, and I don't know why I'm getting off on this, and I hope that there's no one here that will be offended by this. But I remember one person that was getting ready to file for bankruptcy, and they said, I'm filing for bankruptcy on this certain date. And they went out and they got as many credit cards as they could get, and they charged them to the maximum. They went out and borrowed as much money as they could borrow here and there and everywhere, and then they filed for bankruptcy and said, we're not paying it back. You know what that is? That's thievery. That's thievery. And the very individual that did that, and I don't want to cast a shadow on anybody here this morning, but that individual ended up committing suicide. Because you know what? There's no blessing in getting things that way. Work with your hands. Be diligent. Be faithful. If you're worried about overextending yourself, don't do it. Keep yourself in a place where you can be faithful to your commitments, to yourself, to God, to others, and God will smile upon that. God said, "If you bring the wood, if you'll start becoming faithful and diligent with what I've given you, then the curse is going to be lifted, and your work will be a blessing. Your giving will be a blessing. Praise the Lord." Somebody said, "Hallelujah." Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank God for truth today. Thank God for blessings. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've dropped the ball in the past. Well, just go ahead and repent of it and get up and go again. Amen. And ask God to help you to be diligent and faithful. Amen. In the things that are before you.